Hints audio, Sean talks to Greg from the Melbourne Anarchist Communist Group. Greg is involved with the Australia Asia Worker Links Group, and in this interview he highlights ongoing struggles and conflicts in Asia, but also looks at how they seek to build practical solidarity and support. You'll find more audio on the WSM website at www.wsm.ie.
Right, I've just bumped in Greg here in the wonderful Melbourne Trades Hall. This Trades Hall has a long history. Apparently it's one of the oldest Trades Hall in the world.
Yes, that's right.
Situated right in the centre of Melbourne. Has a massive red flag hoisted at the top of it, the Aboriginal flag. And Eureka
now,
flag.
Yeah, and now Australian flag.
And I hear this Trades Hall even is even older than the one in Russia.
Oh, yep, it would be.
Yeah.
Basically, the union movement in Australia was one of the first union movements in the world to get going properly. Melbourne was a very rich city back in the mid to late 19th century because of the gold rush here, and the gold rush also led to a huge radical democratic movement springing up in Melbourne. In the late 19th century, Melbourne was known as the Palace of the South. And they meant that not for the beauty of its streets, but for the radicalness of its politics.
That's good to hear. So basically, we're talking here in the Asia Worker Links.
Australia-Asia Worker Links.
Yeah. Could you give a bit about history about that and how it came about?
Right, well, Australia-Asia Worker Links started off in the late 1970s. It was actually a project of the Uniting Church at the time. But what happened was that in the early 1980s, they turned to the unions in Australia to get some practical support over a dispute concerning an Australian company operating in the Philippines. That led to the influx of a lot more labour movement people into the organisation, and over a period of about 10 or 15 years, it actually transformed from being a church organisation to being an independent labour movement organisation. We've got no contacts back to the to any church these days. And AAWL is an organisation of individual members and affiliated unions. People in Australia, unions in Australia can affiliate. We have other ways of cooperating with solidarity partners overseas. We've been doing for many, many years is doing exchange visits, solidarity visits of mutinous Asian unionists to Australia, Australian unionists and activists to Asia to assist in building solidarity between workers in Asia and workers in Australia. Now, years ago, that was pretty much one-way solidarity, basically the strong Australian union movement providing solidarity to workers in Asia who were attempting to establish independent unions. We've actually, over the years, provided a fair amount of assistance to the establishment of the union movement in the Philippines and also in Indonesia.
In terms of the union movement, many of us are aware of the growing militancy in Southeast Asia. Is the union movement developing along traditional mainstream union lines, or is there a more radical undercurrent
What we're finding is it really varies very much from country to country. In Indonesia, for example, the union movement is split all over the place because they have this idea that if you don't have the correct political line, then you're a yellow union. And of course, everybody has a different political line, so that means the union movement split all over the place, and with everybody calling each other yellow. In Thailand, the union movement has been crippled by division for many, many years. It's the union movement in Thailand is in a very bad way. It's recently been it's recently basically been forced into supporting the monarchy there, which is a dreadful position for a Labour movement to be put into. When you look at South Korea, the union movement in South Korea is much more radical, much more independent, but at the same time, it's been taking a lot of backward steps in recent years because of the growth of casualisation, the growth of contract labour.
Like elsewhere, and some of them in Europe, with the CRRs thing.
Yep, that's right. That's happening across the board. Yeah. There have been some victories won against are against casualisation and contractualisation in Asia, but not many. Some workers, I think, for the Dole pineapple plantation, I think, in the Philippines, won a victory a year or two back, and so did Lipton's workers in the in Pakistan. But it really hasn't been all that successful yet. In China, you've got this. The official trade union movement in China is like controlled by the state. There's this huge strike wave happening in China, building up. The workers in China break new records in strike statistics every year, and the party can't stop them.
Are the strikes? Obviously, the strikes are building confidence, but are they winning victories?
Oh, yes, they're winning. They're winning victories. I'm not in a position to be able to say what proportion win and what proportion lose, but I do know there's quite a few. There are quite a few wins, and the party knows that they can't suppress all the strikes. So these days, as long as a strike is in one particular. One particular locality, they'll let the local authorities handle it. They'll only step in and use the heavy hand if there's any signs of workers organising on a broader basis. Who knows how long they'll be able to hold the line there. The movement is growing in China all the time. There's been a huge strike wave in Indonesia starting late last year, going on into this year. The workers have won major victories, including a 40% rise in the minimum wage.
Is that across the board, is it?
Yep, across the board. They've also in India, the union movement has been very weak and divided for many, many years. Mm. But from what we're seeing, the workers there are starting to get up off the floor. They had three 2-day general strikes in the last 18 months. Mm. So this is a good sign. Mm. What AAWL has been doing in recent years is trying to move on from what it's always been doing in terms of solidarity. And we're not leaving it behind, we're building on it. Mm. We've come up with, and not just on our own, but in talks with our solidarity partners in Australia and overseas, we've come up with a global labour movement charter, which is a set of demands which workers anywhere can agree on. But if we win them, we're all going to have be going forward a long way. It's in order to get that. Charter of demands implemented, we've come up with a strategy which we had called International Industrial Action and Solidarity. We've actually now we've developed a workshop based on that idea, which we call the Global Picket Line. Mm. The idea is we want to make sure that other workers in the same industry, often for the same company, actually going to struggle together in a coordinated way, regardless of what country they're in. As long as we're divided up country by country, global capital will keep us on the back foot.
given the history, there's a history of anarcho syndicalism or revolutionary syndicalism in Southeast Asia, and we're doing a bit of reading around there recently, places like China and South Korea. As an anarchist, is there any of that type of tendencies developing in struggles over there or generating?
I haven't seen any of it. I haven't seen any of it in Asia. It's partly it's got to do with the other language issues. As well as that, in a lot of the countries of Asia, there are a whole number of issues which are like politically.
The syndicalist tactics are being used in terms of obviously the use of the general strike. Yeah. Assemblies, spontaneous, kind of without the endorsement of the union bureaucracy type of.
Well, to the extent that those tactics are in use, I think it's most. I think those tactics are actually most obvious in China, because the official union bureaucracy is linked in with the state. The workers have to organise themselves. They've got no. They've got no alternative. That doesn't mean that they necessarily have a terribly high level of consciousness yet. As yet, one of the problems you often find is that workers will improvise something really radical because the traditional structures aren't available. Mm-hmm. But once the traditional structures become available, that's the question about whether they'll stick with the radical structures they've improvised, or whether they'll let them collapse and go with the traditional authoritarian structures. It's certainly the class struggle is hotting up in Asia, but apart from China, I can't see anything clear in terms of independent struggle outside of a labour bureaucracy. Mm. Indonesia is a country where the level of militancy is one which I think bears investigating.
And the state repression, obviously, the Communist Party was at one stage the largest.
Yeah, that's right. The so-called Communist Party of Indonesia, the PKI, got massacred in 1965-66. Even today, what they call communism is outlawed.
And anything which is left, anything if you're considered left, would it be to put your head above the parrot would be.
Well, there actually these days there are more and more leftists putting their head up above the parapet, mm-hmm. but they're having to speak in they're having to speak in code a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. There are some left organisations in Indonesia. Exactly how left they are, I'm not clear. Certainly, the largest left organisation in India a few years ago has now exploded. Most of its leading figures have now gone off into build careers in establishment parties. And there's a minor left current that continued on with. It continued on without selling out like that. But even exactly what their position is, I don't know. I suspect it's some sort of slot Stalinism, but I wouldn't swear to that assessment yet.
Moving on then, you've stressed the importance of international solidarity. In many ways, Australia is Asiatic country, with about one fourth of its of people born overseas, especially from the Asian countries. Mm. So you've built solidarity. What about in terms of developing links with American workers who are coming from Australia? Is that the job? Do you think that should be the job of the mainstream union, or are you involved in that?
Well, if
you look at even the 457 visas, around that importance.
And AAWL has a clear position in its in its global labour movement charter, calling for permanent residence with full employment rights for all refugees and all migrant workers in all countries. We've got a very clear position on that. Our problem has been working out how to translate that into a longer statement about 457 visas. We're finding that as an organisation, that's a very difficult thing. We've spent almost 18 months now drafting leaflets and then crumpling them up and throwing them in the bin because we said, no, there's a problem with this and there's a problem with that. The problem basically revolves around how to put things in words that ordinary workers will see. Yes, this makes sense. We can stand here. Sometimes we haven't found the right words to say it. Other times we found in finding the right words to say something, we've actually gone and left out something yeah. important. So we're still working on that. We certainly publicise all the refugee rallies that happened, for example.
There's one tonight, isn't there?
Yes, that's right. I'm planning on being there.
So am I. Everyone in Australia at one stage was a refugee, including a lot of Irish for political and other reasons.
Yes, that's right. There's a poster I've seen more than once with a picture of a sailing ship of late 18th century design and with the title on it, Boat People.
Hits a nail on the head. So moving on there to an entirely different subject. The Melbourne Anarchist Book Fair this Saturday. You're talking at an event including the Asia Worker Links. So also I'm aware you've done a bit of travelling around Europe. You're kind of aware of the anarchist movement in Europe.
Yep.
You even spoke in Ireland a couple of years ago, which I remember, in Belfast and Dublin,
yep.
I think. What's your perspective on the anarchist movement today in Australia?
My perspective on the anarchist movement in Australia today is that it's on the rise. And basically, the movement has gone through a few ups and downs during my time since I joined in the 1970s. What's happening now is that it's rising, and as well as it rising, it's actually got a much stronger class struggle focus than in the past. So therefore, I think that not only is it rising, it's actually got a more sustainable basis to continue rising. There are a hell of a lot of anarchists around these days who weren't involved in some of the really bitter disputes of the 1970s that still create problems today in the movement in terms of the conflict between particular individuals. The movement is now big enough so that those conflicts are no longer an insuperable obstacle.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I found the anarchist movement here to be, compared to Ireland, there's obviously many individuals like yourself doing excellent work within important concrete struggles around Asia Worker Links within the trade unions. Mm-hmm. But having been to Melbourne and Sydney, even Sydney, for the largest city, there's no real formal anarchist political organisation, which I think is important. My impression is I find it a bit individualist. It's very chaotic. It's kind of doesn't know what direction it's going in. Hopefully, stuff like the Melbourne Anarchist Book can tease out some of these ideas.
What I'm finding is that The movement's been like that ever since I joined it. What's new is the strength of the class struggle current that's emerging out of that, and attempting to get organised. There's an attempt to create an annex federation in Australia. My group, the Melbourne Anarchist Communist Group, has decided to take up the invitation to participate in that process, and see what can be done to create an anarchist federation on a proper basis. We started off thinking that it wasn't going to get anywhere, but we've actually discovered a surprising amount of agreement between us and the Melbourne Anarchist Club, who are like the group at the centre of the federation process. I think that when you take a look around, there are actually class struggle anarchist groups in a range of cities in Australia now. There's the possibility for things to be taken to the next level. I don't know whether this particular federation process is going to be successful, but certainly so far it's been more successful than I initially expected, and I think things are moving now. When I look at how things were back in the 1980s, the place was a wasteland.
You'll find more audio on the WSM website at www.wsm.au.